page 470 and sing I Am Blessed as the three sisters prepare to come forward with their special. I am blessed, I am blessed, every day that I live, I am blessed. When I wake up in the morning, when I lay my head to rest, I am blessed. I am blessed.
would you come forward at this time?
Praise God, everybody.
Amen.
If you're singing with me, this song here. Okay. Sing with me, number 160 in this book.
Time is filled with swift transition. Naught of earth unremoved can stand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hands. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Trust in Him who will not leave you. Whatsoever years may bring, if by earthly friends forsaken, still more closely to Him cling. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Hold to some things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Covet not this world's vain riches that so rapidly decay. Seek to gain heavenly treasures. They will never pass away. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. When your journey is completed, if to God you have been true, fair and bright the home in glory, your enraptured soul with you. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Amen.
We need to take up the offering. Could I call on Brother Luis to come up and just take up the offering while we sing this little chorus as he comes forward? I can, I will, I do believe. I can, I will, I do believe. I can, I will. I do believe that Jesus heals me.
offering, Lord. Bless the giver and even the one that can't give, Father God. Bless him equally.
Amen.
And I use this offering, Lord God, for the uplifting of your kingdom.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
We love you and we ask this now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you. Amen.
Let's turn to page 4 and sing, I Love Him. Key of C. C. I love him. I love him because he first loved me and purchased my salvation. Saved from all alarm, down in the cross, my heart is bending low. The precious blood of Jesus cleanses white as snow. Let's stand to our feet and sing Open the Eyes of My Heart. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart.
Loving, pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, 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 high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory, pour out your power and love as we sing. Holy, 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 and I want to see you. Amen and amen and amen. I want to see him. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you'd like to turn in your scriptures, turn back where we were this morning from Romans 8. In Revelation 3. I know the announcement has been made, but we keep making them in case people miss it. But the train ride will be on October the 15th. Make sure you know where you're going and how to get there. The festival will be on the 22nd. So remember that and get everything prepared and all Sign-up sheets are downstairs for that, so get everything in order. Brother Prakash will be with us next Sunday, the Lord willing, on the 9th. And then Brother Shetty will be here with us on the 12th. So remember each one of these announcements to do with. That all announcements. Remember all of the things that have been said. I think Richard and Anna traveling back on Tuesday. So remember them and keep them in your prayers. Amen? Something else that we're forgetting. What is it? I think they made the announcements. But anyhow, Brother Forney will be with us, Lord willing, on the 30th. So I knew I was forgetting something. All right. Heavenly Father, we thank you that, Lord, we can have an opportunity to be able to sit down and wait upon you and to believe that you will open the eyes of our heart, that we will have the understanding that we have need of. And we pray that you would bless each one of us with your presence and your love, forgive our sins and cleanse us to keep us all clean in you. And Lord, just have your way with each and every one of us. As we speak about you, then, Lord, you come and honor that part that we would bring of your word to making it come to pass because we believe you. Create in each one of us a new thought, a new idea, a new way of thinking, and make us all to walk in you. Guide us now and keep us in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're still in Romans 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Yeah? All right, Revelation 3:14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now we want to try to continue on from this morning in our thinking and all, but moving it more in. We spent Wednesday night more or less trying to talk about him, and this morning, and trying to show and bring forth of how that he, according to the scripture here, is the beginning of the creation of God. All right? Now, we know that what that is not that God created Jesus and Jesus created everything else. See, that would be incorrect. See, how did he have a beginning? God does not have a beginning. God is eternal. But this creation that we're talking about, that was God in human flesh, had a beginning. It began in the womb of the Virgin Mary, and she produced that child, and that child was the beginning of the creation of God, another creation. All right? See, that was the secret down through time. All right? Now, even the points of you and I thinking of salvation, all right? Coming down through our times, you know, in denominational churches and that, we talked about salvation, right? We talked about eternal life. We talked about being Christians. We talked about those things. But we were limited into the understanding of the basis of it, talking about how that it, something like that would be the beginning of the creation of God. We kind of looked at it like that. I'm just saying overall of what we would look at. We kind of looked at it like that it was just that God flung a world out here and a bunch of people, and then he just picked some of it, and he made Christians out of some and left some to the bases that they wouldn't make it to that, and they would have other places. It was just kind of a pick and choose form. But we found that those things would not be true. And we didn't talk about God making a new creation. You know, we didn't know of that until the prophet brought the message in the end time and began to talk to us about it. Now, we read the scriptures, but we just didn't have that understanding. You can read scripture over and over and over, but if you don't have the understanding of what that is, it would just be words or letters on a page to us that would be there. But see, then when the prophet began to talk about those things, then he began to bring it in to where we can see, all right? And we know the beginning of the creation of God is what we were covering Wednesday night and this morning, was the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. A new creation would be made. Distinct, as we'll read after a while, are different from the old race in that it would not be part of that race. It would not be the old race bringing forth, you know, some way. But it would be something entirely different that what he wanted. As I said this morning, then he could create Adam and Eve that would make him father. All right? And that would be fine. He would be a father over a creation. And then he could have brought forth mankind without a fall. And, you know, and he would have had a wonderful situation. But he had attributes in him that he wanted to be displayed, which was healer, savior, etc. All right? Then in doing that, he would have to some way bring it forth to where those things could be made manifest. All right? And as he would, as I said this morning, he would be necessary for him to become kinfolks to us. And we know that God is not a point that where, you know, he didn't send a son. Amen. He came himself. Right. And the way he came himself was to come into human flesh and create a body. Right. Let the body come from the mother, you know, and be born. And then when it would come forth, then he would step into that body. Not as some are saying, well, he didn't do this, didn't do that, and he became this on the River Jordan, then God left him, and then he died this, and all. No. God stepped into that body. Amen. Soul and spirit into a human flesh. Amen. And he would be a new creation. Adam was his first creation by natural creating. Amen. But Jesus was not of that way. He was the only begotten. Right. All right? Now, then he would come forth as being that would make it then the scripture correctly that in him dwelt the fullness of the Godhead bodily. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. All these scriptures would start coming together to show who this person was. And as he stood there, he would be a different creation, looking exactly like us, right? But not born from us. So it would be a total new creation. Okay? All right? And being a new creation, then he would be able to come to Calvary, and then that soul and spirit could come out of that body, and the body would go to the grave, and he would go and be in hell and come up, you know, and doing all the things he had to do, and then raise that body back up. All right? And he could take that body up and he could set it up in heaven. Now, I've never believed that he's, you know, when it says he's sitting on the throne, the body's on the throne. No, I've never believed that there's a lifeless body there. That's just beyond my thinking. You know, it's not that. You say, well, his soul came back. That's true, but what is the soul of God? What is the soul of God? The very nature, the very being, the very person of who he is. But he can be all over the whole world.
Amen. That's right.
But yet he can be in one person. Because that would bring down the correct understanding. Just trying to relay back a little bit to this morning. So his first creation was when Jesus was begotten into the womb of the Virgin Mary. That would be that new creation. All right, now, do you follow me on that now? Follow the prophet and the Bible. If it's a new creation and not the old creation made over, then that would be the family of God. See, the very God that stood back before time or eternity, as the prophet would say, in the beginning before the eternal. He had ways of saying things that was beyond human comprehension. How can anything be in the beginning but before the eternal? It just means that before you had any thoughts or whatsoever that you could ever think about him as being, he was all the way back behind there into the eternities himself. All right? And see, then he would come down into human flesh, took on the form of sinful flesh, not become sin, but took on a form of sinful flesh to be like us. Could have given you a transfusion or a kidney or a lung or something as because he was that much human. Amen. But yet he was God. And we read this morning where Brother Brown said, now how could he be a man and be God? He said, that's the mystery. Yep. All right. See, that's beyond our comprehension. So it has to be revealed. Right. All right. So God just stepped over into a human element where he had done it before throughout the Bible times of the Old Testament. He was Melchizedek that stepped into a human flesh that actually stood there and ate the calf and the things. But yet, see, that one could not die for us because he never become kinfolks to us. All right? So it would be necessary that he'd have to come into and come through the wound of a woman to come into being to where that he would be a part of us instead of this God creating him. To where that he would be kinfolks to us, all right? Now, see, then coming down to that place, that would have made, according to the scripture, where it says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then it says, and the Word was made flesh. And we beheld him as the only begotten. All right, a new race. What God wanted in the original was standing there. All right? He wanted that to be. He started Adam in that place. He gave Adam eternal life, put him in the garden. The tree of life, the prophet said, was in the garden to remind Adam that his youth was being renewed. All right? See, that would be the great understanding that it would be. You say, well, how could that be? Well, there just wouldn't be no time. There wasn't no time until sin entered the picture. Right? It wasn't nothing to count. It was in the seventh day because that's where man fell. The rest. All right? And there was no way of counting time. So then the best way to say it is the way the prophet did. The tree was standing there to remind him of his youth was being renewed daily. All right? What would have happened, as we said this morning, had sin not entered the picture? God could have brought every one of us into being, created us,
amen,
gave us eternal life in our soul.
Yep.
We could have went to the tree of life and been totally made eternal, body and all. All right? But that was not his plan and purpose, because that would not fulfill his desires. So he had to let us fall to the bases, all right? And had to then come, as Romans 8:3 says, that he came in the likeness of sinful flesh. In other words, not like it, just like it. But yet not being a part of this world. Now, I've always told you, why is it, Brother Dale, that you don't believe in us getting a new body? Just give us a flat definition of why you don't believe that we're going to get a new body, you know, a different one. Because where would it come from? You can't pick up this dirt and create one. It's polluted. Right? If he picked us up out and brought it up, it'd be a polluted earth. That's why I don't believe Jesus come from a polluted earth. No way do I believe. I believe he come right straight from God as the original came. So where would be, you'd have to go to another planet or another part, another universe or another something to get you something to make a body. That's just naturally an answer to why I don't believe in that, let alone all of the points the prophet had to bring in the Bible. Amen. All right. But now, God then coming down, Jesus Christ was God in creation. You remember we were bringing that out this morning? God in creation. God created a body. All right. Now, so before you go too far, I want you to think. You say, well, Brother Dale, if you deal with what you're doing, you're going to run aground, because you're going to be dealing with the Son of Man, as you said this morning, that Son of Man spoke us into being. Well, he spoke the seed. Right? Was not he sowing the seed? Was not he sowing the children of the kingdom? The word. Not some physical part. The word that would come forth and be you and I when we would get here. All right? And that would be then that you and I would be a part of that new creation. Right? See, the part of it is, we've got to come through a little different way than he did, because he never came by the sex. He never came by those problems. But irregardless, that body had to be redeemed. All right. But he would give us eternal life. Amen. In our soul. Yep. Wouldn't that be back like Adam? What was the one thing Adam had that you don't have? Now listen. We have the new birth, right? We have eternal life in our soul. Adam had eternal life in his soul. What is the thing that Adam had that we don't have? Adam had authority. Right? He could move a tree. That's your prophet's word. He could stop the wind. He could do what? Adam had authority. All right? But an eternal soul is an eternal soul. There's no difference in his soul and your soul, because it's eternal.
That's right. Amen.
All right? But Adam needed something else. He needed a change of the body.
That's right.
But now how would you, irregardless of, we could say, well, that we could go to the tree of life and eat and the body be made eternal. I like that, because to me, this is the tree of life,
amen,
the word of God.
Amen.
And that's what we're doing now.
Amen.
We're going to this tree and eating. This tree, which is the word, that will bring us into total creation and bring the whole thing forth. Why? Because Jesus went to that. Then the Bible tells me that we'd have a body like unto what? His glorious body. So the end of all of this is going to be a total new creation in body, spirit, and soul. The finish of it. When our bodies are made eternal, it'll be a total new race. That's why you hear us hammer at it so much. The foolish virgins is not a part of the bride of Christ. They're just material. They'll have to be given eternal life. The filth-sealed Jew is not the bride. They have to be given eternal life. The best, even with 144,000, that will receive eternal life here, but that'll never make them nothing but servants to the bride of Christ. See, this new creation is different than what anything you could think of. And I titled it two-part this evening. What? The Family of God. You know, we sing that song, I'm part of the family of God. You know, all right. Also, I have another part of the thought. We're talking about adoption. I ended this morning by making the statement. What is the purpose of adoption? Amen. What is the natural purpose of adoption? To bring a child into your family. Is that right? Natural story. All right, what's the spiritual story? God had to, I don't like using that word, but it's still the best I got. He devised a way to bring a human being that would be born in sin, shaped in iniquity, spouse to a mother's womb, doomed and on the way to hell. Yet he could bring that person through his plan and give them eternal life, starting that with their new birth, which would make us at that time the children of God. Paul spoke of what? A new creature in Christ Jesus. A new creation. See, that's eternal life in the soul, right? But you know what? It makes that soul as eternal as the very God was that come to it. God is going to make him a family. Now, before you go too far and get your brain running on out ahead, you say, but Brother Dale, he could be a father. And I can understand how the Son of Man saw it. But who said, who's the mother? Brother Brown said, God is my mother, and he's my father. Now, what does he mean? He's my mother, he's my father. What does he mean? Well, you mean there's going to be a new creation? It is. There's got to be a wife. We are the wife. But what is the mother? Would it not be the Word? And he, the Spirit, to the Word would make it alive. So he's my mother, he's my father. I was looking there a while ago, and he said, he's my brother, he's my sister, he's my all in all. So just don't run out too far and say, well, where are you going to get a mother? Our mother is the Word. And the Father is the life to the Word. All right. Now, so taking that thought now, what is the purpose of adopting a child? It's to bring that child into your family, and in the natural adoption, it comes in with full authorities with all the other children and all the things like that, right? Amen. All right. Now, in the spiritual part, he would adopt into his family or give each member of that family eternal life in their soul. Would make us the body of Christ. Paul speaks of the body of Christ. Paul speaks of a head. Paul speaks of all them things. But Brother Branham would turn around and say, the headstone never come yet. And Paul is speaking of a head. And Brother Brandon says it. We have a head. See, there's got to be more to the story then. All right. But he can bring us into the family. And I'm just using the word begotten. I'm using the word adoption. in the same way that he's bringing us into the family, because begotten simply means you're bringing something into being, right? Whereas Adam was just... Adam had nothing to do with his coming into the world. Agree? He had nothing to do. He didn't choose his wife. Right? He had no choices. Why? Because he's just straight creation. But then when you talk about, and the Brother Brown would say, he said, but Jesus is the only begotten. Beget means to come forth into. To do that, it means you would have to have something to bring it into being. All right? He had to have a father. Amen. And he had to have a mother. But what was that? The germ of life and the egg that was created. And there comes a body. So he had a mother and a father. We just get all our terminologies all mixed up. And it brought forth a body, a new creation. All right. Now, how do we get into that body? So we're begotten into it. He just doesn't create. He didn't come down at your new birth and just create. He came down and inhabited you by his own life. He didn't create something. This family's got to come the way he come. Begotten. That's why the quote we had it this morning, it's in here somewhere, where Brother Brown said he's the only begotten. And he said by them, he said he begat many sons and daughters of God. Now, Jesus never had nothing physically to do with bringing us into being. You know what I mean? Right, it's not talking about children like that. What he done, he had to release the life that was in him, and that life would come back into the next part of the story, which would be his children then. Right. And we're his family. See, don't get it all mixed up. Just think as we go along. Because you see, we're not only his family, we're his body. Amen. Right? Amen. We're all kind of things. But just think today about the family. And the purpose of being adopted. That he would bring us into that family that he was. Right? He would just bring us forth. He would be gotten us into that. Not something he had to do himself. No, because we're not a son of Jesus that was a son of God. That's grandchildren. Either God, either Jesus was Almighty God, or we messed the whole thing up. Right? But see, being Almighty God, he could speak you and I into being. That's what I'm telling you. That's simple to me. When Brother Brown on Christ the Mystery said the only way he could be Father was to be the Son of Man. That's right. And when that Son of Man stood on earth, he was sowing the seed for that body. He was speaking the word. The ages would come down, that seed would be made manifest. And it would be his body. All right? Now, in getting to that, see, God lived in that body, that creation, the body. God lived in the body. So he's still God as a spirit. It's still right. But in that body was soul and spirit. Right? Now, you see, to show you where that a lot of people go off is they don't realize they pick up doctrines. Now, Brother Random said, ever doctrine was where? He said, ever doctrine or trias was in Genesis. Yep, right. Yep. I can't go back and read Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Pentecostal. Right? No, that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about what causes that. Ever thought? You say, well, I didn't know much about the soul of God. That's the reason you didn't know about it, because mankind didn't teach you much about it. And you know that I even run into this before I run into the message, that man didn't have a soul. You ever heard that? That man didn't have a soul till the law came. You never heard that doctrine? I run into that before I heard this message. And see, their theory or thought was that the law brought a knowledge of sin, so it would bring a soul into being. You understand? That's what they believe. And I told a brother, I said, well, it's kind of odd that in Genesis it says God breathed in the nostrils of Adam and he became a living soul. He said, you know, I thought about that too. But he never quit teaching his doctrine. He went right on with doing it. Because they didn't believe. See, they thought the law brought a knowledge. And the knowledge would be the soul of mankind, you know. Are we that way that we can't look at something and see what a soul really is? And we can't distinguish between a soul and a spirit? The Bible tells you that the Word of God would tell you the difference between soul and spirit. Right? But to show you how it was so messed up now, listen. Your prophet in the early ministry basically taught body, soul, spirit. You check it out. Basically, he would interrelate, but basically, he didn't have the right understanding about that, because that's the way he would bring it. All right. And he would name it. Then later he would say that it's body, spirit, and soul. But the amazing thing was, an illiterate, as we call it, because I'm ninth grade education, I'm counted totally literate. Brother Brown had a seven. He counted seventh grade education. He's totally illiterate. A totally illiterate person, by the Holy Spirit, all of his life, could keep them senses running straight. Now that goes into my brain as an amazing feat of God to control a human being, that Brother Branham would always teach the body, five senses. See, taste, feel, smell, and hear. Second rim, he'd always teach it. Memory, reason, conscious, affection. And the center rim would always be the total controlling rim. And then no matter whether he called it soul or spirit, it didn't make no difference. He had his senses. So you say, well, if that be true, because that's what people throw at, well, why didn't he come along later and tell us where he changed that? He didn't have to. He had it right all the time. He just using different words. That probably don't mean a thing to you. But when I saw that, I remember I brought it out in a minister's meeting one time, and some of the brothers was just elated to hear it. Some of them, it didn't mean a thing to them. You know. But listen, folks. The soul of mankind is the part that God is working on in you and I. Amen. There's where your new birth takes place to make us the children of God. Amen. It puts us back just like Adam was standing. Amen. With a sinful body, a spirit motivated and a lot by Satan, but a soul that was eternal. Because he lost the authority. He didn't lose his eternal life. Come on. I can quote, but just quote it right. Brother Branham in the seal book said they fell from eternal life to death in the garden. I agree with him 1,000%. I'm glad he said it that way, where it would confuse the people. Amen. Right. Because you look at it and say, well, you mean to say that would be right, and that would mess us all up. No, it won't. It won't mess us up. It'll straighten us up if we believe the message. He gave Adam eternal life, but he never got to live eternally in flesh. So he never finished the plan of redemption in Adam. Because the plan of redemption was to bring forth children like himself. All right? You'd have to agree with that part, right? To bring forth like himself. All right? So then the key is here. It's been explained to us, even to the change of the body, that we'd have a body like unto his glorious body. So it's going to finish with a total new creation. But we're in the journey of the creation. And there's children all up and down. This new birth makes us a child of God, a new creature in Christ Jesus. But then there's people in all of these stages. I believe that. Some are just babies, just beginning. Some are coming up to authorities and things in manifestation. I agree with that. But nobody's reached the change of the body. All right? Nobody has reached that because there's the secret. And there's what we were talking about last night, see? Leave this alone. Don't move this at all because this Holy Spirit seals in everything. You don't move the head down at all. But the head's got to come. Now, I've always told you, and I don't mind telling it again. This message your prophet brought to me is the headstone. Now, if it's not, we better look for another one. I'm as honest as I can be. If this message is not the headstone, you say, yeah, but I don't see the manifestation. It's like I said there the other week. Wednesday night again. I say it again. When you're dealing with manifestation of the Spirit, it's only a short, I said it this morning, it's only a short period of time. Brother Branham said, there's a knife blade's width between the coming of the headstone and the rapture. He said Jesus came right off of Transfiguration, went straight to Calvary. Right? You said, don't you look? Yes, sir. I've always looked for a great move of God to come among the bride. I've always quoted it. He justified the Lutheran, sanctified the Methodist, now set in order the coming of the Lord and coming on down to another part to put with it and said he would be visible among us and raise the dead, and we're going to rapture. I've always said that and always believed it. Amen. But the main thing that I've always tried to say, 50 years, don't forget what's taking place now. Because if we don't see what's taking place now, don't you worry about authorities and things. Don't you worry about a change of the body. You better be worried about now and get it in the right order. Okay, now, so how do we become into this body? So you see, the purpose of adoption, of the spirit of adoption, is to bring us into the family, which is your new birth. Amen. To bring you into the family. Authority is the higher depth, you know, greater moving on. All right? But it's the spirit, as Paul would say, the Holy Spirit that would bring us into the family, which the Holy Spirit is the tutor. Right? So the day you was born again, you got the tutor. You don't say, well, I got born again down here, Brother Dale, and I believe one of these days I'm going to get the tutor. Well, how are you going to get from here to there? If that's the tutor, this is what, how are you going to get there? That's as simple as I can ask the question. How are you going to get there? Now think about it. We know for certainty, I'll try to pick this up now. We know for a certainty that this body is not a new creation. I don't care how much you want to stand in front of a mirror. I don't care what you do. And I ain't saying nothing about it. I've just always said one thing for certain. You know, everybody wants to be. They say there's more muscles strained in front of the mirror than there is picking up the weights. Yeah. All right. All right. We know that we are not in our right to be state in this human body. Our soul is eternal. If we die, we have a place to go to. Everything's perfect, no problem. But we don't know how to connect back to the body. What will we do? Because he's just going to come back. Well, so then we know that irregardless of what you talk about, that we don't see the authorities. We know that has got to come. All right. So why not we believe for it? But why can't we believe that the life stage of our journey of Christian life is to understand the redemption of the body?
Amen.
What else is there after that? Huh? But we must find out how to become a part of this new creation. So we know that it has to be the life of Jesus Christ to come and give us a new birth that Nicodemus could not follow. The greatest of all teachers of the Old Testament form could not follow the simple plan that you and I are expected to believe of the new birth. And he said, you mean I got to go back to my mother? Like I said the other day, Jesus said, if I tell you earthly things and you don't understand them, he said, how can you understand spiritual? Right? If you don't understand, Nicodemus, that the body you're living in is sinful, and something has got to happen to that body because it is getting older, it's dying, it's in a perversion. But it's like I've always told you, those Jews believe that circumcision. I've always believed it that way when I first seen it. Those Jews believe that circumcision takes away the sinful curse. Why do you think they do it? And it was ordained of God to be done. Right? Now, see, then we've got to see that that new birth brings us to the place that Jesus was speaking to Nicodemus. And if it does bring us to a new birth, then Galatians 6 and 15 says that nothing amounts to anything but a new creation. A new creature in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. He is a new creature in Christ. See, that is only speaking of your soul. He's not speaking of your body and your spirit. It's speaking of your soul, that you're a new creature.
Amen.
All right. Now let's believe that.
Okay.
Every how you want to talk about adoption or begotten or whatever word, just remember, you got to get in
right.
to the family of God.
Amen.
We could beat around the door and talk about it, but we got to get into the family.
Right.
Well, why don't you believe the new birth puts you in the family then? The new birth brings us to a special position. Huh? Brings us to a place that is glorious. All right? We read this Wednesday night talking about Jesus Christ. Let's read it today talking about the bride of Christ. All right? Go ahead to number 8, brother. We skipped way on over. And this is taken from the Laodicean Church Age, which is a church age book. Page 336. Everybody ought to know this by now. We've read it a good many times. But you can keep reading it and you keep hearing, right? So what is he doing? Now remember, we talked about this being Jesus Christ, because he's the beginning of the creation of God. Now we're going to bring it today to you and I. And with no problem, because it's a specific designation of himself. So don't worry about it. Just believe it. But now he's standing in the midst of the church. And as he stands there revealing who he is in this last age, he calls himself the author of the creation of God. And watch him. This is another creation. This has to do with the church. Makes us the body of Christ, the bride of Jesus Christ. Now look what it says. This is a special designation of himself. So it's him and you. Christ in you, Paul said, the hope of glory. All right? Watch. He is the creator of that church. He's the creator. He creates his church. That's what I'm talking about. It's a brand new race. It's a new, he said in one place, in it, a new creation, a new race. He created it. You realize he created you? When he gave you the new birth? Come on. He's the creator of that church. Look at him. Look where he takes it. Right back to now. The heavenly bridegroom created his own bride. Now watch him explain how that's done. How did he create his own bride? It's plain language. Read it. The heavenly bridegroom created his own bride. As the Spirit of God, he came down and just, now here it comes. Now what did he say? He came down and created in the Virgin Mary the cells from which his body was to be born. That's where you start at. You're not a part of that race. Come on. I want to repeat that. He created the very cells. He's explaining how the bridegroom created his bride. Right? How did he create his bride? It was not enough for the Holy Spirit to simply give life to a human ovum supplied by Mary. That would not have been sinful mankind. Excuse me. That would have been sinful mankind producing a body. That would not have produced the last Adam. All right. Now watch it. Of him it was said, lo, a body hast thou. Look, I love that. Father. Lo, a body thou hast prepared me, is what it says, Hebrews 10:5. But look what Brother Ryan said. Lo, a body thou hast thou, Father, prepared for me. God, not Mary, provided that body. Mary was the human incubator, and she carried the Holy Child and brought him to birth. It was a God-man. He was the Son of God. He was of the new creation. Man and God met and joined. He was the first of this new creation. He's the head of this new creation, or this new race. Colossians 1:8, and then you got the Corinthians. All right, there is. There you can see that though man was of the old order of creation, now in union with Christ Jesus, he has become the new creation of God. May I state it this way? So you can see that though the man was of the old order, our creation, but by the new birth, by him giving you eternal life. He brings you in union with Christ, and you become the new creation of God. Ephesians, all right, roll on up, 2 and 10. Roll it on up. This new creation is not the old creation made over, or it could not be called a new creation. This is exactly what it says it is, new creation. It's another creation, different, distinct, see, from the old one. No longer is he dealing by ways of the flesh. That was how he dealt with Israel. He chose Abraham, and Abraham's issue through the godly Isaac line. But now, out of every kindred, tribe, and nation, he has purposed a new creation. Amen. He is the first of that creation. He was God created in the form of man. Now, by his Spirit, he is creating many sons unto himself. So he didn't quit creating in the garden. Right? God the Creator created himself a part of his own creation. He didn't quit creating in the garden. He finished the physical creation. Jesus was not of that old race, so don't run to that. Jesus was a new creation. See, he just waited until he could create what he wanted. He wanted this new race to be like Jesus Christ, right? That's what he wants now. Look what he says. This is the true revelation of God. Anybody ever ask you, said, what's the true revelation of God? Take this and let them read it. Why? Because God ain't complete without you. Right? You're a part of God. Look what he says. This is the true revelation of God. This was his purpose. This purpose took form through election. That is why he could look right down to the last age when all would be over and see himself standing in the midst of the church as author of this new creation of God. His sovereign power brought it to pass. By his own decree, he elected the members of this new creation. He predestinated them to the adoption of children according to the good pleasure of his will. By his own omniscience and omnipotence, he brought it to pass. How else could he know that he would be standing in the midst of the church receiving glory from his brethren if he did not make sure? All things he knew and all things he worked out according to what he knew in order that his purpose and good pleasure be brought to pass. What about it, church? Are we a part of that creation? What are we? We gave these this morning, but we got to give them again for the purpose of getting what he's doing. Go ahead to number 9. He's proving his word. And he's coming down showing the vitamins and the things and all of the doing. All right, roll it on up because we want to start from where it says to redeem. See, what did he come to do? To redeem that part of the earth. Jesus Christ had to be redeemed, the body, because it had a beginning. Not that it was sinful, because it had a beginning. Right? All right. To redeem that part of the earth. He was the beginning of the creation of God. Because God is not a creation, only in Christ is he a creation. Because God is eternal and a spirit is not created. He was the beginning of the creation of God, and God redeemed that body. Now look at it. Where would you ever got man to talk about? Where's any theologian ever talk about that? Where's any church? Any people? Unless it be kooks. You know, kooks, crazy ones. Where's any church that ever thought anything about that even the body of Jesus had to be redeemed? Then we ought to pay attention. See, when he come down, this is my beloved son, I'm pleased in him. As we redeemed the body. We'll go on through a few of it and then drop off. So he, God, came down after going through this. And now ever son, that you eat and born of a natural sexual birth, the way you come, then when it comes to a place to where you go through water baptism, then Holy Ghost baptism. Right. Now watch him. Then the Holy Ghost comes down at the fiery baptism and claims this creation the same as it did him. So when the Holy Ghost came down and gave you the new birth, he claimed your body. That's why you ain't going to get a new body. It's this body made new. He claimed it. Where did he claim it at? Where did the Holy Ghost come on him at? River Jordan. Claimed him. Claimed that body. We got it on in here in a minute. Where Brother Branham, instead of saying, this is my beloved son in whom I'm pleased with, he was saying literally, the saying is what? This is my part of the earth that I have redeemed. And from this part of the earth, I'll redeem the rest of it. World and our bodies was all redeemed right there on the River Jordan. Well, I just can't see that because I know it. Because you're not listening. You tell me where it's going to take place. One of these days, it's great, yeah. Yeah, one of these days. Look, then the Holy Ghost baptism. Then the Holy Ghost comes down at the fire baptism because he's bringing it to the world and all. Because you know the world's going to get a fire baptism. But it's the same for you. It claims this creation the same as it did him. The Holy Ghost and God is the self-same spirit. See, it comes down and claims this body for the resurrection. If he's claiming it for a resurrection, we're going to get a resurrection. Why would you want a new one then? He's going to resurrect it and destroy it? Oh, look, he was raised for our justification. All the Father has given me will come. Not one will be lost. I'll raise it up at the last day. Not one hair of the head will ever perish. We were talking about that last night. You know. Huh? That is the beginning of the creation of God. This is the continuation of the creation of God. Then because of us being fully redeemed one day, watch, and the Holy Ghost comes down in a city, the whole earth has to have a baptism. And then the Holy Ghost comes down in a city to dwell upon the earth. And the tabernacle of God is with men and dwells with them. God has tabernacle here on earth. This whole redemption plan, justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost, the same as it is then. Simple plan. Justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Look what he calls this. Go to number 10. Power of transformation. Where heaven, the only thing that is just the restoration. He's talking about back up above. Where we are now, we are on our road back to that original beginning of the creation of God. Back to the Garden of Eden. Right? Again, husband and wife without any sin or anything to live eternally. You mean we're on our road back to the Garden of Eden?
Right,
yeah.
Yep.
Right? Back to the Garden of Eden. That's redemption. In his plan. Go on. The baptism of the Holy Ghost, preached in 1958. Which they were one with him in the beginning. Because he's talking about your name on the Lamb's Book of Life. The scripture said so. Did not Jesus tell them that they were with him before the foundation of the world? Your minds are blackened and darkened. Right? Okay. We all are to those things. But we're just not some little coincident happening here. We're not just some haphazard coincidence happening. We are sons and daughters of God in the beginning of the creation of God. And been dropped down here for a witness, to witness the grace that's shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. We're part of that original creation. Now, how would you like to stay all afternoon for me to preach about? Because we would come by down there today and someone was asking a question. And then Brother Dick said, what was the first creation? You know what Brother Brown said? God was his first creation. God was his first creation. That's hard to think. God was the creation? Think of it in simple terminologies. It was God condescending that we could understand him. Is that simple?
Amen.
What was his first creation? The Word. The Son. The Logos, the speech, was the original Son of God. In the beginning of the creation of God. Right? Okay. All right, we're sons and daughters. Look at the next one. And knoweth it not. And knoweth it not, look what he said. But until that real, genuine Holy Spirit in thou will cope with every word. If that Holy Spirit in you that makes you speak with tongues looks back there and doesn't agree with the rest of the word, then it's the wrong spirit. Right? Come on. It's got to come from the inside, which is the word from the beginning. Right? In the beginning of the creation of God, when God began to create, bring you into existence. He started before the world with his plan and purpose to bring you into existence. Started from a seed, right? In the beginning of the creation of God, when God began to create, bring you into existence. See, started back there as a seed and worked down to where you are now. And then you were all in Christ. And then when Christ died, he died to redeem all of you. And you're a part of this word. And how can the Bible, all of it, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little, not one jot or a little tittle shall fail. How in the world can you, being part of that word, disagree with the rest of it? Or any part of it? Right? How about it? Look what happened at River Jordan. Go ahead to the future home. We'll pick this up because we got communion and then we'll cut off a little early. Now read the future home.
Amen.
Just read the future home. Or listen to the tape of the future home. Listen. The prophet saw it, saw the heavens open. That was John, right? Standing looking up. So. And here come descending out of heaven, a form of a dove and a voice saying, this is my part of the earth that I have redeemed.
Right.
Now, what did he say? This is my beloved son in whom I'm pleased to dwell. Right? But what was he literally saying? This is my part of the earth that I have redeemed. Watch him. And from this part of the earth, I will redeem the rest of it. World, everything going to be redeemed, right? For he is my word made manifest. The whole world. I spoke it into existence by my word, Hebrews 11. And Satan has held it all this time, but I've come to redeem it. River Jordan, right? Watch him. So much of it has made his body, and I'm coming to dwell in it. Huh? John said, I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, descending out of heaven as a bride adorned for her husband. And where did it settle?
Yep.
Now he's going plumb over in Revelation to pick up a scripture. And John seeing the holy city coming down, where did it dwell? Just exactly like it did on there upon the earth.
Yep. Yep.
So the future home, identically what's happened at River Jordan.
Right.
What happened? Jesus was part of that earth that the Holy Ghost descended upon. Is that right? And remained upon him forever. It can never leave him. It all, now that's contrary to them. It come on him and it left him in the garden and it went off and he come back and he died a man and all. Okay, go ahead. Jesus was part of the earth that the Holy Ghost descended upon. Is that right? And remained upon him forever. It can never leave him. It's always there. He and God are one. Always has to remain. Now watch it. And so John saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, descending like a, if you'll hear it in the message, the old tapes of thing would use comet. But it is, I don't know, they changed it, said common. But descending like a or a dove, coming down out of heaven and settling up on a redeemed entire earth. Where? The new city will come down on a redeemed entire earth, but where did it really take place?
Amen.
To do what? To claim every attribute. It's not coming down over there to claim the attributes. It's coming down over there to inhabit. River Jordan is what he's talking about. Your body was claimed right there.
Amen.
Or it never will be.
That's right.
Come on. Like a dove coming down out of heaven, settling upon a redeemed entire earth. To do what? To claim every attribute that he made the earth for. Every man that was represented in eternity and every woman, it is redeemed then.
Amen.
Where? River Jordan. She has been scoured and burned by fire. Jesus in his fiery temptation in the wilderness for 40 days after that notice was ready for his ministry.
Yep.
You see what I'm talking about, church?
Right.
Come down upon a completely entire earth. Let's see. Okay, let's get 14. Go over number 14, which is the future home, paragraph 357. Remember that the Holy Ghost descended on Jesus, which Jesus was a part of the earth. Why? The germ of God, the life of God, was designed in the womb of a woman. That's right. Which was the earth. All right? And then the life of God came in, so he was the beginning of the creation of God.
Amen.
See, and then that blood of God that was there by that germ, when it was shed at Calvary, dropped back upon the earth. What for? To redeem the earth. Now watch him. It's been justified. It's been sanctified. You know the story. It was justified in the days of Noah, sanctified when Jesus dropped his blood and received a baptism. So, all right? Claimed it. Now it's to receive the baptism of fire and cleanse for Jesus and the bride. And you are these other parts that's drawn out of this earth. What's he talking about? These bodies are the other parts of the earth. You're a part of the earth. Your body. Look, your soul is a part of God, an attribute of God, displayed here on earth in a body. The body is to be, now watch this, to be redeemed. Because it's not finished yet. But it was redeemed right there, watch. Because it was in sin. So God come down by a process of justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost, and redeemed your soul. Now, there's a statement that goes on with it. Where it says your body is to be redeemed. It was on what we read. But get the point. Let me see if any, but one more. Yeah, I like this one. Go ahead, because this is on to that part. 361, which was back up to right where it was. And you being part of the earth is redeemed by it. You're in the process now. It's growing on. You're in the process. It's growing on. Something's taking place. You're in the process now. It's growing on. Your body was justified under Noah's baptism. Amen. Your flesh when it dropped upon there. And the earth is to be cleansed by the fire, the place where you live with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, a dwelling place for Christ and his bride, the new Jerusalem. You being part of the earth, which is your body, is growing on. You say, no, I'm just getting older. Why don't you look back behind me and read that stature of a perfect man just one time? And see if that's not the total plan of redemption to bring it forth. Okay, we got it. 17. Pick up 17. Let me get it. Have to pull up. And here comes descending out of heaven a form of a dove and a voice saying, "This is my part of the earth that I have redeemed, and from this part of the earth I will redeem the rest of it, for he is my word made manifest. And the whole world, I spoke it into existence by my word." This is a repeat. "And Satan has held it all this time, but I've come to redeem it." Well, look what he said. "Descending out of heaven, form of a dove. This is my part of the earth that I have redeemed." 3.5 years of the most horrible ministry that could have ever been. And death on Calvary. But his body was already redeemed. The minute you receive the new birth, your body is redeemed. But it's not applied. What? Can I state a prophet? No divine healing. No resurrection. How many of you needed that? See, the minute your body, the minute you receive that new birth, that body was redeemed, but it wasn't totally claimed. Israel is redeemed, but it's not applied to them, right? As far as God is concerned, it's over with. Follow it, church. He claims this body. We read back there of proving his word. He claims this body for the resurrection. When you receive that new birth, he claimed your body for a resurrection. No divine healing. No salvation for the body. No salvation for the body, no divine healing. Either way you say it, it's the same thing. We just don't realize it. He don't have to climb up on a cross and do something to make the rest of his word to be fulfilled. He don't have to die again to save us. He don't have to do it to heal us. It was done back there 2,000 years ago. What about 2,000, well, almost 3,000 years? We could just say probably is 3,000. Somewhere close to 3,000 years ago. Well, we'll put it back to the 2,000 and keep it, because I don't want to go over to the future home. 2,000 years ago, he healed you. But we want him to heal us. Lord, come and heal me. But yet we can't wait on him to do it. We can't wait on him to fulfill his word. We're going to get to that Wednesday night, Lord willing, of child training. He knows how to raise us. God knows how to raise his children. And you know what he's got to do a lot of times is slap us down and kick us around. Right. And shove us away from him. Amen. For us to find out he loves us. Right. We don't like it that way. But is it true? Right. You know that Brother Brown said what we need to learn is a no from God is just as good as a yes.
Right. That's right. Amen.
But we don't learn that, do we? But we think it's got to be a flowery bed of ease. See? No. It's not a flowery bed of ease. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord leadeth out of them all. But Brother Dale, look at all the sickness I've had. Well, let's see. Many, it's not the affliction of the righteous, but how is that in the church age book where he talks about the starry trials of life and things is not a sign of God's approval in some way, but the bad things happening, in other words, is not a sign of his disapproval. He said his approval is in the elect. Well, what if the prophet says it? He said, what if God chose you? See, we don't get the whole story. What if God chose you to go through something? And that going through that would bring you patience sometimes. And we don't want it, right? We're human. But what if he chose that? What if he knows that's the only way to bring us to a place we need to be? What about it? What about it? What do you think about this new creation, new race? Totally different from anything in the world. There is no human being in this world in anywhere's comparison to a born-again believer. I don't care what race, nationality you are, or what you think you are, or how great you are. If you're not a born-again Christian, you're of the old race. Have you ever talked to a Baptist about the reason he says he knows he's saved? He said, because Christ ended the law, so I'm not under the law. He said, because he ended the law, but said, I want you to know that the Gentiles never was under the law. You ain't never talked to a Baptist about that. He knew that Jesus come to do away with the law, but he said, us heathen never was under the law. You never was under the law, you could never have any grace. My way of saying it is what? Until the day you're born again, you are under the law. Because Christ is the end of the law only for the born again believer. The law is still here. No, but I didn't want the law to still be here. Well, get born again, well, no problem. Let's stand. We'll go into our communion. I hope you'll think about it, about what this new birth makes you a part of the body of God. Come on, brothers. Think about it. We're not even worthy to take the communion if we're not born again. If you're not a born again Christian, you're not supposed to take the communion.
That's right.
Because you're drinking damnation to your own self.
Right.
So we need to get something straight there. He said, Brother Dale, do we refuse to give it? No way. I've instructed the deacons and things. When they pass the plate, they don't look at somebody and, I don't think you're worthy, and go around and pass it to somebody else. No, that's your choice to decide whether you're worthy or not. I don't care what sinful condition you're in. You making the choice to decide, not me. You're the one drinking damnation, not me. Well, I don't think that, well, there is certain things in the Bible of situations. But until it's met that way, it's open for everyone. But you got to make up your own mind, right? For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you. What about the Apostle Paul? Like I've always said, out of all the apostles, out of all the people that spent all their time, not a one of them was able to explain the communion. Paul was not in the upper room. He was not in none of those situations to have any knowledge, yet he was chosen. So he said, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do shew the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together unto condemnation. The rest will I set in order when I come. Brother Brown said they had got to the place. And what they were doing, they was just making the communion a meal. They were eating and drinking and everything. And he was straightening that out because he knew that wasn't right. But it says that tarry one for another. So let's just have a moment of silent prayer. Father, just be with each one and direct us all into your loving grace, and you make us worthy because you're the only one that can. We ask you to forgive our sins that we may stand complete in you and just have your way with each and every one of us. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. The Bible said he took bread and blessed it. Father, we thank you for this bread. It's made for this purpose today, for that where we can partake. And, Lord, that we can think about it being your body that was shed for each one of us. We know it's not literal, but it has a significant meanings to it. And we ask you, Lord, that it also, knowing that it represents your word. So as we eat the bread and drink the wine, you quicken this word that we've been talking about, that you can bring it all together in you, Lord. We love you and we thank you. Sanctify the partakers and the bread in Jesus' name. I always say we've done a lot of things in our lives, and God winked at our ignorance. And we used to just take it and take the bread and get through in the service. We'd just take it home, put it in the freezer, and freeze it till the next 3 months later. And then we'd drink back out because we didn't take communion about every 3 months during the Baptist. But we'd do those things. But that's not the way that it's supposed to be done. It was supposed to be in all form and sincerity in the love of Jesus Christ to where that we can all see what these things mean and do. And we thank the Lord for the truth, all right? Because it'll set us free. Amen. Father, we thank you for this wine. It's been made for the purpose it's being used today. And Lord, we ask you to just help us to understand what it's a symbol of. It's a symbol of your blood that was given for each and every one of us. We ask you to just help us and help us to realize that we eat the little piece of bread, we drank the little wine, that it'll be blood cells in our body. And we'll live by those things. But we know also what it means. It means the word that we hear is to be quickened in our hearts and our lives. Let the Holy Spirit come to each one of us and forgive our sins and guide us and make us worthy in you in Jesus' name. Amen. Come morning, I'll walk by the river. I'll rest near the evergreen tree. I'll carry my cross through the midnight. Come morning, there's glory for me. Sometimes I'm despised and rejected, and I question, oh, Father, how long? Then I take one more look at Mount Calvary, and it gives me the strength to go on. Right? Come morning, I'll walk by the river, I'll rest near the evergreen tree. I'll carry my cross through the midnight. Come morning, there's glory for me. Amen. You just think about it. And think that when we get there, the marriage supper will be the communion. You look across the tables and you'll see that some you thought about made it. I don't think there'll be a sadness to not know some of the others didn't make it, because that will just be removed from you, I guess. But you'll see the ones that made it. You'll be able to realize realization to where you've made it to. And to hear him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of the Lord that was prepared for you before the foundation of the world." It'd be a great time, wouldn't it? Be a great opportunity. All the toils of life and the heartaches and troubles will all be taken from us. And we'll be able to just rest and have a good time. And it won't be no hurry. We won't be having to go do this and go do that. We'll have a couple of million years that we can just sit there and talk to each other. And to talk about the things that we've experienced in our lives. And the doings in all of the parts of life. Yeah. Let's all partake together. You can be seated for a minute while we're getting everything ready. Deanna wants to be baptized this afternoon, so we will be having the baptismal service for Deanna this afternoon. They were kind of planning to make it next week, but that's what has come up. So then it'll be this afternoon, okay? So we'll have the baptismal service. All right. We go to John to read our scripture. "And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, that he was come from God and went to God. He riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord," look, he caught it, you know, and he looked out and he seen the two dirtiest things was what? "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus saith unto him, "He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are not clean, but and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him, therefore said he, You are not all clean." So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, "Know you what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and you say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them." Let's stand together and be dismissed, and the sisters can go downstairs. Huh? Father, we thank you for this day, and we pray that what we've said has been worth it. And all of the things we've tried to say what we could about you and the way what you're doing. So we just ask you to have your way with us as we go on now into the fulfillment of the foot washing, and we have a good time in you, Lord, and then finishing it all up by going and having a water baptismal service. We love you and we thank you. And guide us and keep us. Be with everybody on the highway. Give a safe journey home. Let everything be for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.